Okay, I'm going to be reading Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Church Bible, page 1113. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you're ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead."
Okay. Thank you, Stephen, Liz. And my name is Sujit, and I'm one of the occasional preachers. And today's sermon is from the second passage and from verse 24 to 31, so on page 1114. In the Bibles. The human heart is a perpetual factory of idols. Those were the words of John Calvin, the theologian and Protestant reformer. At the center of human existence, according to Calvin, is the creation of idols. So in saying this, Calvin was gets to something which was true in the 16th century when he was writing, but also probably true today. In fact, definitely true today. Calvin was probably thinking of a blacksmith's workshop. So you can imagine the scene, a blacksmith sculpting a statue of some great figure, which goes on, the figure goes on to be venerated and worshipped. So in saying that the blacksmith's workshop is not just out there, that there's a factory which makes idols in our very hearts, Calvin was pointing to how strongly and deeply we desire these gods and how we carry on making them over and over again. They may not be only physical objects, they may be desires, ambitions, obsessions, habits, people who drive our lives. There are so many idols in every human life. In this sense, even an atheist has an idol. Claire was reminding us earlier that Athens in the ancient world was one place where there was really an abundance of idols and monuments that were worshipped. It was a place of great culture and great philosophy. So perhaps one way to think about Paul arriving in Athens is to think about his experience as a tourist, exploring a city. It may have been Norwich, may have been London, may have been Edinburgh, it may be Istanbul. What was there to see in Athens. So if you were a tourist in Athens, it was normal to go and see the wonderful sculptures, which were the gods of the city. And it seems that Paul did the same. So Paul's response to this city came in many parts, and today's passage arises from his dialogue, his conversation with philosophers, Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. They invited him to the Areopagus, see verse 19, which was the formal council of the city. And they accused him of bringing strange ideas into their midst. So what happened in the Areopagus at the council was effectively like what we might call a fact-finding mission. These thinkers, these philosophers of Athens, wanted to find out what the content of these new ideas that Paul was preaching was. So while Athens was awash with idols, Paul's aim in our passage is to give the Athenian thinkers a full account of God, the God he worships, and how his character does not conform, does not align to any idol in the city. So the passage has lots of truths about God's character to summarize, and I'm actually going to go through eight very, very quickly. The aspects of God's character set him apart from the gods not only of Athens, but of all societies today, of Cambridge as well, which after all is also a place where there are a lot of people who think and who think they know the way the world works. So the first heading, the Creator, verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. How could a God be made from human hands? Won't it be just as good or weak as the human who made it? And in the end, won't it just mimic human beings, be a projection of their desires, rather than being supreme and powerful as God should be? In verses 24 and 25, Paul clearly sets out the relation between God and the created world. He is the creator. He made the world, and he has power over it and gives life and breath to it. There would be no creation if not for God. He's first over all things. He has no need for service from human hands. And he doesn't live in the things made by human beings.